There is a wonderful, wonderful place that awaits everyone that remains faithful until the end. This evening, I would like to talk to you reference to salvation. Salvation. It is for you. Salvation is for you. This sermon is not just for those outside of Christ, but is also for those of us that are in Christ. We have to remain faithful until the very end. The Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, in the verses 10. There are times where we may want to give up. As a good boxer is in the ring fighting, 15 rounds. In that very last round, he's getting beat down like he has never been beat before. His manager or his trainer is not happy about the situation, and he gets ready to throw in the towel. You've already seen the movie Rocky. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want that towel to hit the floor. Well, that's the type of God we serve. He do not want us to hit the floor. He want us to be heavyweight contenders. He want us to fight to the very end. The book of Jude, verse 3, teaches us that we should contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. All through Scripture, we find where God took care of his people. He made sure that they were dressed the way that he expected them to be dressed. They ate the foods in which he had provided for them. And if he takes care of those out in the world, if he takes care of the lilies of the field, we're going to find as we read the scripture in just a moment, how much more is he going to take care of his people? In 1 Samuel, we find that the people wanted to be like others. They wanted a king. And Samuel thought maybe it was something that he had done. He thought the problem relied within himself. But God said, it's not your fault, Samuel. It's not your fault at all. They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them a king. They're not going to like it. And the reason they're not going to like it is because of what I expect out of them. Now, if they continue to look at me as being God, as being their Lord, everything is going to be okay. Not just for them, but also for the king. It'll be all right. But we find these words spoken by Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Because if the people don't know, they don't know. So they have to be told. 1 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 14 and then verse 24. For if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Let's continue down to verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Verse 24, Samuel says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. He's a gracious God, merciful Lord. He said, if you would serve him, it'd be okay. But if you don't, his hand will be against you. And I believe that as we think about this and we think about all that God has done for us, and I only want to talk to you about four things this evening that's for us, that God has in store for His people. We see others with things that they have, and we have to consider, why are they getting these things and yet they're still not following after God? Because the Bible teaches it rains on the just as well as the unjust. But for His people will be taken care of. And again, we are His people. Those that trust in Him, those that believe in Him, those that are willing to follow His word, we are His people. We find in the book of Matthew chapter 6, starting with the 24th verse, that when we understand who God is and what God expects out of us, we should be willing to serve Him. For all the things that, again, He has in store for us as being His children. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now it's getting to be springtime, and you see the flowers bloom, and some, no one planted, they just popped up. The seed came from somewhere, but yet they're so pretty, and the rain will come, and it will allow them to continue to grow, because it all comes from God. But the question is asked by our Lord, are you not much better than they? You're not much better than they. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Some of us, we never really made it in basketball because we were too short. Couldn't really play football the way others did or be on the line because we were too little. But he says, which of you taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Worrying has never gotten us anything but maybe an upset stomach, a loss of hair, a loss of weight, or a gain of weight, some sleepless nights. She said, don't worry. It's going to be okay because you are a child of God. Amen. Verse 28 says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they get a spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these or one of those. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today yields and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. What does God have in store for us? What promises has he made unto us? He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that we need something to drink. He knows that we need something to eat. He knows that we need to have clothes. Our heavenly Father knows these things, but many of us worry needlessly about things that God is going to make sure that we have. He gives us the strength to get up in the mornings to go to work. He gives us the strength to go to that job and do what we're supposed to. He even gives us the strength not to go deposit that check, but just check our checking accounts to make sure it's there. God takes care of us because we're His children. Verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is that? The things in which Christ spoke of earlier there in verse 31. The things in which we shall eat, the things in which we shall drink, and the clothes in which we wear. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not, again, the wants, but it's the needs in which we have. Verse 34 says, take thought, therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, we have enough to think about. But he said, don't worry about those other things. It's going to be okay because you are a child of God, the heavenly King, the heavenly Father. We are his, and he is going to take care of us just like we take care of our children or our parents have taken care of us. Amen. We need to understand that. God will never, ever leave us needing anything. Amen. In Acts chapter 14, verse 17. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. As Paul preaches here, in Acts 14, we find that he is trying to stress to the people who he is and who they should be serving, and actually who he is not. It says, nevertheless, in verse 17 of Acts 14, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Who did those things? God did those things. Paul didn't do them. Paul was not a God. Paul was just an apostle of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was not a God. He could not do those things, but God did them. Who did he do them for? He did them for his people. You can read through Acts 14 and see that Paul was stoned. Paul was stoned for telling the truth. Paul was stoned for being a child of God. And many times we come up against people, we come up against situations in this life where we need to understand that it is not us that the people really have a problem with, but it's God. And in the end, God will make sure that those people pay for their sins. But in the end, he's going to make sure that his people get the reward that he has for them. God has his power for us. His power. Not the things in which we think that we're doing all by ourselves, but his power. When we go out and we talk to people about salvation, we can't save anybody. Let's just forget about that. We do not have the power to save. All we can do is do what God has given us the ability to do, and that is teach his word. As we read in there in the scripture reference in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It is God's power, the power of God, the power of the gospel, the message in which we're supposed to be teaching, the message in which we're supposed to be preaching, that God has in store for all people. We cannot pick and choose. But I don't like the way they look. I don't want to go over there and teach them. It's not for you to say. The only thing is for us to do is to go and teach them the word of God. Romans 1, verses 15 through 17. Paul says here, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wants to understand something, that as we come together on Sunday mornings to study God's word, we come together on Sunday mornings to worship, partake of the Lord's Supper, to give of our means, to sing praises unto God, to pray unto him, to hear the message being proclaimed. It doesn't stop here. I want us to know that we need to live a faithful life throughout the week. Amen. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, preparing again for Sunday morning to come together upon the Lord's day. The power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Salvation is good, isn't it? The message of salvation is good. So we have to continue to preach it. We have to continue to teach it so that people may know what they need to do in order to be pleasing to God. Oh, yes, our services to him, the way that we sing to him. Oh, that is good. But again, when we leave here, how do we conduct ourselves? How are people looking at us and how are they perceiving who we are? Or do they really understand who we are because of the way we act? We're children of God. And if we're children of God, the Bible tells us that God is going to take care of us. Go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. God has salvation for each one of us. And the message of salvation, it needs to be proclaimed to a lost and dying world. It needs to be proclaimed to the faithful Christians so that they may remain faithful. It needs to be proclaimed to those that have strayed away from the fold so that they may be able to come back to the fold. Colossians 1, 25 and 26. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. A message that others did not understand, a message that others could not see, has been made manifest today through the scriptures that we may understand what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. Salvation is great. A message that has been hid, but now revealed. This message needs to be continued to talk today. That we cannot shirk away from our duties, but we must step up to the plate and know that as we preach and teach God's word, that we are being wonderful in his sight. Because we are his instruments. We're the ones that he has chosen according to his purpose because we have been obedient unto the gospel. The third thing is for each one of us is the death of Christ. Christ didn't die in vain. I know he didn't. Amen. He died for us in order for us to live, for us to have the opportunity to serve him, for us to have the opportunity to go out and to teach his word, for us to have the opportunity to live a life that God is pleased with, that when we die, we will never be separated away from it. Waiting upon that great day of judgment, the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. The death of Christ is for us. It's for you. That means salvation is right there. That means that salvation has been made nigh unto you. All we got to do is start drawing nigh to God, drawing closer to him. There may be some that have been Christians for a long time, but yet you are so far away from God. We need to draw closer to him. We need to be steadfast. We need to be unmovable. We need to continue to live a life that God will be pleased with. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. The death of Christ is for you. It's for us, which means salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 through 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. For verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Amen. Salvation. That's what Peter is talking about. He's saying that Jesus came down here upon this earth. He was crucified. He shed his blood for everyone. As Brother Fair would say, whosoever will. Answer the gospel call. That's who Christ shed his blood for. There are many people that's going to continue to reject him. But there have been many, and there will continue to be others that will receive him, understanding what they must do in order to obtain salvation. The death of Christ is for you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, as we continue to talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, we understand that he instituted the Lord's Supper, which a lot of people really do not understand about the Lord's Supper. They don't understand that we're supposed to take it when we meet up on the first day of the week, as they did in the first century. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. As Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. His body. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and I to live. He shed his precious blood in order that we may be redeemed back to God. Verse 25, and after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. See, we just don't remember the death of Christ at one section of the year or one part of the year. We remember his death all the time. Amen. All the time. Who died for you? It made me ask you this question in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Are you going to be able to tell them that Christ died for us? He's the one that shed his blood for us in order that we may live. He died. We serve a living God today. Christ is not still in the grave. He rose on the third day to ascend into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father. He lives. But he died for us. That was his death. And we need to accept that. And fourth, the rewards of heaven is for you. Salvation in the very end is for each one of us. How are we going to get there? How are we going to be able to enjoy being around that throne? Well, it's the way you live your life. It's what we do on a daily basis, not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday evening, not just on Wednesday evening, but every day the way we live our lives. See, many times we fall short. And we fail to realize that we don't have to stay down. We don't have to continue to miss the mark. We need to get up and we need to move toward God and we need to ask him to forgive us of our sins. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. We need to have a prayer life that is pleasing to God. Communication line that is always open. He will never cut you off. Now we may hang up on him, but he'll never cut us off. That's the type of God we serve, a God that's waiting on us to communicate with him. Paul says here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and all the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is common to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And there are some people, they hear the gospel, they understand what God has in store for us, but they continue to put him off. Oh, I have tomorrow. They put him off. Oh, I have next week. They put him off. Well, I'm going to wait until next year to get my life in order. Well, if you die before that time comes, you're not going to make it in. I remember when we received the phone call reference to my grandmother getting ready to die. She had cancer, and the time frame, it just kept going down and down. Let's say she had 7 months to live. No, she had 7 weeks to live. No, she had 7 days to live. No, she's dying tomorrow. We never know when our life will end. So let's get our lives in order and do what God is pleased with. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Our God is waiting on us. He's long-suffering. He's a patient God. He's not trying to rush anybody to do anything, but he wants us to know that tomorrow is not ours. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Last time. In that moment, the last time, only two things, two commands are going to be given. You choose yours. You can choose it right now. Depart from me or enter in. Now, if it's raining outside and the door is locked and you're knocking on the door, what do you want to do? Now, some of y'all like to stay out in the rain. But there are others that want to get out of the rain, especially when it's cold outside, because the rain is cold. In the end, we each want to hear God say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear those dreadful words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, but that's what's going to happen. There are many that think they're going to get in, but because they did not put God first, they did not seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, they did not live a life that God is pleased with, they didn't put away that old man, they kept going back and getting those things and said, you know, I like this type of life. This is for me. I said, you will not get in if you die in your sins. Only one sin can keep you out of heaven. You think that's cruel? No, you need to understand that's God's word. Amen. One lie can keep you out of heaven. Remember what the book, well, maybe let's not remember it, let's read it. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. You know, you'd be riding down the road with some people and they're just, they don't even say nothing, but Revelation 21, verse 8. And you'd be like, what? Just because they were talking to someone on the phone. And you try to figure out, well, which one of these categories did this person fall into? Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars should have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which yields the second death. Revelation 21:8. Do you want to get into heaven? If so, there are some things that you need to quit doing. Or there are some things that you need to keep doing if you want to get into heaven. Being faithful unto God. Faithful unto God. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, we read of a place that's called heaven. As you read about it, I want you to understand that it is a place where you can spend your eternity. For what Jesus tells his disciples here as he's getting ready, letting them know that I'm not going to be with you forever here up on this earth, but you can be with me throughout all eternity. John chapter 14, starting with the first verse. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Or are you planning on getting ready to prepare yourself? Because he's coming back. He's went to prepare a place for people that are preparing themselves to get there. There's no other way which we're going to get to heaven except by through Jesus, because he's the one that went to prepare the place. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. For Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, he teaches us. You'll do what I say. You'll keep my word. You'll be unmovable. You will understand that now is the time to say that I am the Son of God. This is Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. See, many times we think that we are better than anybody else. We think that we do not have to bow down before God and we do not have to worship Him the way He tells us to. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You know what that tells me right there? It tells me that as we go back and read Matthew chapter 6, that things that we worry about, God said, "Give them to me. Let me take care of that. God is not going to worry about it, but He'll take care of it." Amen. Now, if there's something that's in your control that you need to take care of, you need to do it. Pay your bills. Love your neighbor. You do those things. You put God first, and He will make sure, as the Bible says here, "For He careth for you." Amen. Now, we have many caregivers in the audience, people that have cared for others and will continue to care for them. They're dependent upon you. This is what God wants us to realize. We need to be dependent upon Him. Rest assured that if you depend upon Him, everything will be okay. Amen. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, and you want to become one. You understand that there is a place for you, and that in the end there will be room for you in heaven. Don't hesitate. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next week, next month, next year. Do it today. Amen. Come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Get prepared to be immersed in the water of great baptism, coming in contact with the blood that Christ shed for each one of us. Add it to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, "Praising God in heaven faith with all the people, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved," or those that are being saved. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. You have some problems in life and you need to make a confession. Do not wait. Get your life right today. Repent of your sins. Confess your faults. Bible tells us in 1 John, you know, if we confess our faults, He's just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. That's to the children of God. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, please come as you stand and sing.